Finance Minister François-Philippe Champagne delivered the first budget under Prime Minister Mark Carney, calling it generational in its ambition. There is no place for withdrawal, ambiguity, or even standing still, Champagne said on Tuesday, November 4, only for bold and swift action. The $580.9 billion budget includes new $38.6 billion in added spending, but also factors in cutting 40,000 workers from the federal public service, roughly equal to 10% of the workforce. These cuts are from normal attrition and retirement, as well as further action the government is taking to rein in spending. The budget has a $78.3 billion deficit. Major five-year spending packages include a $115 billion infrastructure plan and a $30 billion defense outlay, the most in decades. This new defense spending is meant to help Canada meet its 2% NATO spending target this year, and put it on a path to meeting the 5% target set for 2035. There is $25 billion for housing over the next 5 years, which Champagne called the most ambitious housing plan since World War II, with the stated goal to double the pace of housing construction in the next 10 years. To support the economy, the budget includes $110 billion for productivity and competitiveness, also over the next 5 years. The budget also projects $60 billion in savings over the next 5 years. We did the hard work, we took the tough decisions, Champagne said. Much of Champagne's remarks focused on how this budget aims to overcome uncertainty in the economy that is a result of U.S. President Donald Trump's trade policies. Around the world, tariffs have increased, growth is slowing, and trade relationships are being tested, he said. All of these constraints are being felt across the country by Canadians in their daily lives. Expectations for the budget. BC Premier David Eby said earlier in the day he hoped to see some support for the North Coast transmission line in the budget, arguing this project would electrify many other revenue-generating resource projects. He reckons these projects will subsidize others throughout the country. Someone has to generate revenue through private sector projects, he said, and British Columbia is far and away the province bringing these projects to the table that are realistic, that are going to happen, to have proponents, and that already have demonstrated commitments. The budget includes funds to boost projects, a generational investment strategy, as it is put in the budget, that involves building a clean electricity grid. Champagne also talked about the need for clean electricity in his budget speech, adding, "We're going to make a historic investment in Canada's north." The North Coast transmission line is not mentioned by name. BC Finance Minister Brenda Bailey told media Tuesday that when the Carney announced his government's first group of projects to be reviewed by the Federal Major Projects Office in September, she was happy to see two BC projects. LNG Canada Phase 2 in Kitimat and the Red Chris Mine expansion in the province's northwest. But she said BC is also looking for support for the North Coast transmission line, which she said is a very important piece of work that will ensure that we can electrify the mining sector. Bailey said that she was glad to see a continued commitment to the critical minerals strategy, which she said is an area of deep importance for BC. However, she said support that BC has been asking for forestry workers is missing. She said the incredible burden that has been put on that sector as a result of both duties and tariffs is extraordinary. There's been excellent meetings had with the federal government and our ministries working to ensure that this forestry sector is supported. We've seen that happen in Ontario with auto workers. We expect the same thing here, Bailey said. In a press conference following the budget address on Tuesday afternoon, Northwest Territories Premier R.J. Simpson said the budget was light on details when it came to what exactly it meant for the NWT. He did point out $90 million in new funding to increase Canada's military presence in the North, the $1 billion Arctic Infrastructure Fund, something he said has been asked for by the government of NWT for several years, as well as a commitment to review Northern health infrastructure. I can trace that item back to a discussion Minister Caroline Wozniak and I had in Ottawa, he said. I do feel that the federal government has been responsive. We still have a lot to learn, but I think there's a lot of stuff in there that's going to help us. As to what was missing, Simpson said he would have liked to have seen something about the Mackenzie Valley Highway, a project that has been talked about and lobbied for by the government of NWT for several months. But there is still plenty that will help the territory, he added. There's money for public safety, specifically aircraft, and that should help us during a difficult fire season, he said. The critical minerals tax credit has been expanded to include additional critical minerals that we have in the territory, and we've been asking for that as well. We didn't get everything we wanted and we never do, but we see partial items that we had requested.